Case is taken under advisement. Our next case this morning is Groupe against Gonzalez.
Mr.
Bauer, and you can use that same switch to raise the podium.
We're very using family court, you understand. We supply water, too, in case.
May it please the court. Your Honor, Al Bauer, I'm here representing the appellants, Mr. James Groupe and his wife, Ms. Quo Groupe. Your Honor, one of the five bases recognized for granting asylum is persecution or a well-founded fear of persecution based on an applicant's political opinion. As this court and other courts have recognized, one way that an applicant may establish a political opinion is to show an imputed political opinion. And that is a political opinion attributed to the applicant by his persecutor, regardless of whether the applicant in fact holds such an opinion. In this case, due to errors of both fact and law, the immigration judge failed to consider whether the political opinions imputed to my client, Mr. James Groupe, by the Liberian government could properly serve as a basis for granting Mr. Groupe's request for asylum. Mr. Groupe therefore asked that this court vacate the Board of Immigration Appeals decision denying his request for asylum and to remand the matter to the immigration judge so that he may consider, in light of all of the evidence in the record, whether Mr. Groupe suffered past persecution or has a reasonable fear of future persecution based on the political beliefs imputed to him by the Liberian government. The evidence submitted by Mr. Groupe in this case showed that the Liberian government, or that at least high-ranking officials within the Liberian government, believe that Mr. Groupe was attempting to overthrow the government while working as a chief of staff to the vice president, Enoch Doglia.
What do you think, counsel, is the significance of the fact that the Taylor government fell about 18 months ago? Would your client face any risk if returned to Liberia now?
Well, Your Honor, I'd ask you to take judicial notice of the most recent country report that came out, I believe, on February 28th. In that country report, they talk about a lot of the same conditions and the same actions occurring. That was for 2004, and a lot of the police force that remains intact are engaging in these same tactics, and there are clearly at least certain people within those forces that are loyal to Charles Taylor or Charles Taylor's former regime. So I don't think that changed circumstance. The mere fact that Charles Taylor isn't in power is in itself determinative of
that
issue.
Actually, the country report suggests there's been a rather dramatic change between the Taylor government and current conditions in Liberia.
But based on that report, it still says that I believe some of the police force remained in place.
Yeah, the police force wasn't, assuming your client is to be believed, the police force wasn't persecuting him on its own. It was doing so on his own story, on the instructions of the vice president. The vice president is dead, the government has fallen, a revolution has occurred, right? The people who were giving the instructions are gone.
But there are still people loyal, I believe, to Mr. Taylor that are in positions of power. And if you look, the police force are still engaging in the same tactics that they were engaging in prior to Mr. Taylor leaving or being deposed of power. They're still detaining people, albeit less frequently. They're still engaging in these acts. And I think that to the extent that they're still engaging in these acts, he still risks being persecuted based on his beliefs. The evidence that was presented to my client, which was, I believe, not considered by the immigration judge, is demonstrated by comparing the record with the immigration judge's orders. In his order, the immigration judge stated, and I quote, "The respondent made no reference, either on his application for asylum or during his testimony, the reasons he was arrested." He confirmed this finding of fact on page 13 of his order when he stated, "The respondent also has not provided any evidence relating to the reasons for his arrest." Now, this factual finding, I don't believe, can be upheld by this court because not only does it not find support in the record, it is contradictory to the record, in the administrative record. Specifically, Mr. Groovy stated in his application for asylum, and this is at page 1080 in the record, I was flogged and interrogated about which group in America that have sent people to Liberia to overthrow the government of Liberia. He further stated in his application for asylum, I was repeatedly told by cell guards, oh boy, you want to use the office of vice president to overthrow the government. Groovy's testimony at the asylum hearing was consistent with his application. He testified at the hearing, question, and did the cell guards in the prison say anything to you during those 3 days? Yes, they said that you worked in the vice president's office and attempted to overthrow the government. He further testified that he was interrogated about whether or not he wanted to overthrow the government of Liberia while working for the vice president's office. This, I believe, is evidence that he was being persecuted based on his implied or imputed political beliefs, and it's evidence that apparently the immigration judge did not consider. Now, contrary to the immigration judge's findings of fact, and based on precedent from this court, specifically Tolosa versus Ashcroft, this matter should be remanded in order for the immigration judge to properly consider this ground as a basis for granting Mr. Groupie's request for asylum. In Tolosa, the court remanded an asylum application because the judge ignored the applicant's testimony regarding government interrogations that suggested that the government imputed certain political opinions held by the applicant's father to the applicant. I think for the very same reason, this action needs to be remanded. I believe it was legal error. There's nothing in the opinion that suggests that the immigration judge considered imputed political opinions as opposed to Mr. Groupie's actual political opinions as a basis for granting asylum. Specifically, I would like to talk about Groupie's relationship to the vice president. He was a chief of staff of the vice president, Enoch Doglia. That's not disputed. That was accepted. It was also accepted that he was arrested and held without charge from February 11th to March 4th of 2000. Now, as this courts have recognized that a close association with a person that has endured persecution provides a sufficient basis for granting asylum when it is reasonable to conclude, based on that relationship, the applicant will suffer persecution as well. I contend that Mr. Groupie's close relationship with the vice president, at least as would be perceived by Charles Taylor and other high-ranking officials in the Liberian government, could serve as a basis for granting Mr. Groupie asylum based on the fact that, you know, Doglia was killed in April of 2000, and it was believed that he was killed by Charles Taylor for his views and his political opinions as to overthrowing the Liberian government. Now, the immigration judge never addressed that issue, and I think that again requires remand to the immigration judge so that he may, in fact, consider that issue. Doglia was clearly persecuted as a result of his beliefs, and I think that has to be considered. And I see that I'm into my rebuttal time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Mr. Hogan.
May it please the court, John Hogan on behalf of the Attorney General. The immigration judge made two alternative findings in this case, one that Mr. Groupie failed to provide truthful and reliable testimony to support his asylum claim, and secondly, even if he was persecuted, it wasn't on account of a political persecution. The immigration judge provided at least three specific instances where the testimony...
Is the agency making anything of the fall of the Taylor government?
Your Honor, we did not rely that on the brief because the documents specifically to that are not in the record, but I think we don't even need to go that far because...
I don't know what go that far means.
But I think
the normal question in asylum is whether there is any risk to the alien when returned. And trying to figure out whether there would be risk to Mr. Groupie when returned to a country ruled by Charles Taylor, a question that both briefs are addressing, just seems to me an almost irrelevant question, given that that's not the state in Liberia today.
Exactly, Your Honor. What I meant by not going that far is what...
So why is nobody discussing the legally relevant question.
I think we did, Your Honor, by saying that his main claim to persecution is on behalf of the vice president who's deceased. And if that's your that's the objective basis for your well-founded fear of persecution, we don't even have to go to whether the government's fallen, because the person you're saying you're afraid of is no longer around.
No, that's completely illogical. If the reason why why the vice president was killed was that he was perceived as not sufficiently loyal to Taylor, presumably he would be replaced by somebody who's more loyal to Taylor, and therefore Groupie would be at even more risk. It's 180 degrees the opposite of what's actually happened.
Exactly, Ron, which is that there should be no fear of, because there is no Charles.
But you're not making that argument.
But, Your Honor, there were not the specific documents in the record about that for us to rely on. That is what the judge and the board relied on at the time. So we relied on the fact that the evidence presented was that there was no more vice president, which is what Mr. Groupie's claim as it evolves throughout his testimony goes from the vice president looked through my desk to the vice president, I witnessed him beating individuals, to later on him saying that the vice president, he threw me in jail. So when he keeps relying on the vice president who's not around anymore, it's just clear that he doesn't show any kind of substantial evidence to prove his asylum claim in this case, because it's not whether he had to be believed. It's not whether he could have been believed. It's whether he had to be believed in this case. And even though you can have different assumptions as to what the evidence led to, in this case, the judge's finding that he was not credible is supported by substantial evidence, especially
The credibility finding rests on a series of factors that have already led us to reverse immigration judges for similar kinds of claims. And take, for example, the claim that the alien isn't credible because he says they gave him a passport and let him go, whereas, obviously, if he were being persecuted, they wouldn't let him go. And as we said, before the immigration judge wrote this opinion, on that understanding, the Nazi German government did not persecute Jews, because, of course, it let them go. In fact, it encouraged them to go as far away as possible. Many governments want the unpopular to leave, right? So the proposition, this government let somebody go or kicked him out, therefore he's not telling the truth, or therefore he wasn't persecuted, is such a colossal error of understanding and logic, we have held, that it's enough by itself to have decisions reversed. And here you have the very same error committed. It seems to me if you're relying on the immigration judge's findings, you're doomed under the law of this circuit.
Well, Your Honor, that's what why the judge made two alternative findings. And even if that he was credible about these things, you still haven't shown it was on account of some kind of political opinion, because your basis, as the judge said, is your testimony.
Well, then what was it on the account of? Was he suspected as a bank robber?
Well, Your Honor, that's the issue for the Mr. Groupie to try to answer for the judge. It wasn't answered adequately. Was it a personal vendetta that they were high school friends, the vice president, Mr. Groupie, as the evidence shows, and that later on, 20 years later, they had some kind of falling out based on, was it because he went through the desk and he was a part of Luda? Was it something else? We just don't know, which I guess what gets down to is maybe perhaps there's other conclusions, but nothing compels a different conclusion in this case based on what the IJ and the board found of the testimony from Mr. Groupie. So because nothing, in our view, compels a different conclusion, we ask that you deny the petition for review in this case. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Mr. Bauer.
Your Honors, I would like to start by addressing the government's credibility position, and in particular the last point, which is we have not presented evidence. We've certainly presented evidence as to reasons, as to the air interrogations. Again, this is the information that was ignored by the immigration judge. More importantly, the government is trying to hold us to a burden that we can't meet. We can't go to the vice president and say, why did you throw my client in jail? Particularly when it's a nefarious reason and he was never charged. I think at this point we have to take the testimony, which was credible, on its face. And we can't hold applicants for asylum to a burden of obtaining information from their persecutor as to the reasons why they are being persecuted. And that has been recognized recently by this court. With respect to the changed conditions, I don't think that there's sufficient evidence to show that the conditions have changed enough to overcome Mr. Groupie's reasonable fear of future persecution. And I would rely on the country reports to the extent that they say detentions and other forms of punishment outside of the judicial system are still occurring, and the fact that Charles Taylor loyalists are still in the country. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.